Here it is. We have been destined in love through Christ to be the sons of God. I think we have lessened the emphasis too much on this description of the church. The early Christians knew that they were a people with a new kind of life. They were assured that they were a new Israel, a chosen community, a new humanity. We must not only be relevant to this world in which we live, but we must have a sense of relatedness to that other world. And I don't catch much echo of the transcendence and these relationships that reach beyond this life in the church today. This is not simply a dream. This is a reality. We talk a lot about being relevant to this world, and we become so relevant to this world that there are no distinguishing marks between us and those who follow Jesus Christ. But the sense of the transcendence, of that reaches beyond time and space, is missing. We need to recover this mystical sense of wonder that in Christ Jesus we become a people with a new kind of life. And we must stop excusing our derelictions, our failures, and our follies by simply saying, after all, even Christians are only human. That isn't the way I read the New Testament. Now, we are human, but we are human beings destined in love to become the children of God. It's humanity with a plus. And we cannot excuse our dereliction simply by saying, after all, even Christians are only human. The gospel seems to me to speak clearer than that. We are called to be the sons of God. Now, in the second place, the New Testament tells us that the church is a people with a new Lord as he is revealed in the Word. This means that you simply cannot build a church with a preacher and a steeple and a group of people. It takes more than that to build a church. It takes the presence of a new Lord. Those early Christians wrestled with the lordship of Caesar and other dominant concepts. But they came to know themselves as a new kind of people with a new Lord. And that Lord was Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the Word. The hope of Christians is not in themselves, but in their Lord. We must not say to people, come and be like us, but come and be like our Lord. And like him as he is revealed in the Word. This places an awful responsibility upon the preacher. It is an awesome thing to try to interpret the Lordship of Jesus Christ as it is revealed in the Word. Martin Luther, John Calvin, and a host of others knew the centrality of the Word to reveal the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we must not forget it either. We need to recover the high place of the Scriptures in the church. And the third description of the church as I see it in the New Testament is that the church is a people with a new kind of mission. They are a people who are becoming the body of Christ. who become his hands and his feet and his energies and his mind in the world of men. A servant people. Now, it is interesting that these three dominant descriptions of the church in the New Testament have all at one time or another in the 1900 years of church history been in the ascendancy. The new life, the new Lord, the new mission. We are living in a time in which the servant role of the church, the mission role of the church is being emphasized. And this is good and right. But I would plead with you that this is not all there is to the church. Don't forget, it is a people with a new kind of life. It is a people with a new Lord as he is revealed in the scriptures. And it is also a people who become a servant people. And it is keeping these three descriptions of the church in balance that will save us from our frustrations and will save us from the eroding weaknesses that are popping up in many of our churches today. It is this whole view of the church that I plead for. It is not only the giving of the cup of cold water, but the giving of the cup of cold water in the name and spirit of our Lord. Theological orthodoxy is good as a symbol of truth, but when it becomes a sign of church loyalty, it shows how far the church has moved in trying to save itself instead of the world. And one of the saddest signs in our churches today is the unusual emphasis on social respectability and personal fellowship. In my travels across our state, I hear so many people describing their church as the friendliest place in the world. We are a friendly people. Well, now this is good. Churches ought to be friendly. But the SO service station on the corner prides itself also on being a friendly place. So often we say, come to our church. We are friendly people. You'll have our great fellowship. What we ought to be hearing is, come to our church, you will hear the word of God proclaimed. And you will sense the mystery of life anew. For you see, we have not really understood what Christian fellowship is. The New Testament fellowship was not just friendliness. New Testament fellowship is those who were naturally alienated from each other have now come to be one in Jesus Christ. Those who are naturally antagonistic have now been brought together in Jesus Christ. This is Christian fellowship. This is what we mean when we sing, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. It is this sort of thing that we must seek to preserve in our churches. For the whole mission enterprise hangs on it. But I would warn you that it is a costly thing to keep this balanced view of the church. It costs a lot. When some of us, some months ago, were in Honolulu, we went up to the National Cemetery of the Pacific, commonly called the Punch Bowl Cemetery, because it's located in an extinct volcano. Many of our dead men from World War II and Korea are buried there. And the guide who was with a group of us was talking about
various aspects of the cemetery, and he said, it used to be that we had a white cross at the head of every grave in the cemetery. But he said the government found that it had become too expensive to mow the grass around the cross. And so they took them up. It is always an expensive thing to keep the cross. And by the cross, I mean the balanced wholesomeness of the gospel that is ours. I plead that we might sense anew the wonder and wholeness of the gospel that speaks to the total person. And as ministers of Jesus Christ, we don't simply get on one angle and sit there. This is where the church is weakened. It is an exciting time in which to live. It's a wonderful thing to be called of God to present the wholeness of the gospel in a divided world. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the calling that is ours in Christ Jesus. We ask that thou would forgive us for the times because of our own lack of dedication and diligence. We have been content to present a partial gospel as the whole, and thus have confused so many of the people to whom we minister. Give to us that breadth of spirit, that clearness of mind, that oneness of heart that will enable us to present the gospel in all of its fullness in a day that so much needs the whole gospel. Strengthen our churches and help us to love them, even in their divisiveness and struggles. For we must remember that our Lord loved the church, and it was because of this that he gave his life. Amen.